Greetings once again. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host. So glad you've joined us on America's fastest streaming podcast, depending on download speeds at your local internet service provider. Yes, documented. America's fastest, that's right. It's just a show where we don't take calls and we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. Glad to have you aboard. So much going on. We're working hard here around the McBurney compound, just trying to keep our heads above water like so many other people out there, we know. But we're doing better than 90% of the people on the face of the planet, I'm sure of that. And better than 100% of you heathens who have no hope. We're doing better than all of you. And I'm probably doing a little bit better than all of you people out there because I'm sitting next to my extremely attractive audio engineer. Yes, and I got the emails last week. Several emails from loyal listeners. Doug, you're brilliant. You're a genius. Last week, you were your normal, entertaining, funny, educational, riotous self. But we didn't hear any laughter from your extremely attractive audio engineer. And we're wondering why. And the fact is, she was suffering with laryngitis last week, or something like laryngitis. And so you just weren't able to hear. Well, she was laughing it up. It was a laugh fest around here. But you couldn't hear it because she had lost her voice. But she still soldiered on and did the broadcast. Why? Because she cares about you people. That's why. As she yawns. That's just great. Okay, well, let's get to the show. What are we going to do? We've got the Islamic State. We've got a NASCAR driver killed another NASCAR driver on the track. Can you believe that? Ran him over with his car and killed him. I don't know all the details because I'm not a sports aficionado, but anyway, that's disturbing. We'll probably talk about that next week as the fallout falls out, but this week we've got the Islamic State, Israel versus Hamas, Ebola, I don't know, hemorrhagic fever is what it is, and I guess it's scary, but I'm just not that interested in it yet. Perhaps I'll get more interested in it as time goes on, but we probably will not address Ebola this week. But we've got many other things to talk about. We'll start first, appropriately enough, in the newest file here at the Weekly Worldview, the first Kill All the Lawyers file. That's right. Yes, and I know I've heard from some of you telling me that I'm misquoting that, and I know I'm misquoting it, but only slightly and only for stylistic reasons. I don't want to copy Shakespeare exactly, but just to give you a little bit of background, if you've imbibed the Bard's famous Henry VI play, well, it's not really that famous, not one of his more famous plays, not exactly his flagship production, but in Henry VI, Dick the Butcher says, first thing we do, we kill all the lawyers. You remember that? Of course you do. You've read it. You've probably seen the stage production at Shakespeare in the Park. And if you've watched it, you know that we use the term kill all the lawyers in a similar fashion that Dick the Butcher did. He meant it as a backhanded compliment against the bad lawyers and in favor of the good lawyers and the good judges of his time. And we use it the same way. It's a rhetorical statement, not meant to be taken seriously. And it's a backhanded compliment to all the good and righteous and upright people who fill the robes of the proctocracy. Now, let's get to the story. It's from the ABA Journal. That's the American Bar Association. And it regards a Connecticut lawyer. He's been suspended for 4 months and barred from representing any female clients for the rest of his career. Other lawyers have decided this particular proctor cannot represent women. Why? Well, he was suspended a little while back for 15 months by other lawyers. They suspended him from the practice of proctocracy because he had been accused of making unwanted advances toward female clients referred to him by a group of abused women. So a group of abused women, they need a lawyer, and they find this guy. What does he do? He starts hitting on them. So what do the other lawyers do? They suspend him for 15 months. After which, he rejoins the bar, or whatever it is lawyers do, give the secret handshake, and he's back in court. And now another woman has filed a grievance against this particular proctor because he was representing her in a domestic violence case, and she says he was hitting on her in an unwanted fashion. She says he shouldn't be suspended. He should be flat-out disbarred. And, well, what more is there to say about that except that only in the practice of law do you continually violate the rights of women and insult and abuse women, and the suspensions get shorter. He was suspended 15 months for hitting on the abused women. I guess he hit on a bunch of those, so he got a 15-month suspension. And now he only hit on this one woman, so he gets a 4-month suspension. But he's never again to represent female clients. That's just great. All right, so a view from the proctocracy goes into the rearview mirror, and we move on into the culture file. From the smoking gun, a South Carolina woman called the police after she discovered that her 15-year-old son had been watching pornography on the TV at her house. At this point, all the heathens chuckle and laugh. Yeah, well, he's 15. That's normal. Anyway, I support the mom. You should be able to call the police for something like this. But the police probably didn't know what to do. So this mom comes home with her 2-year-old daughter. And they turn on the TV, and lo and behold, the 15-year-old has been, well. Anyway, the smoking gun reports that while watching pornography remains legal, the woman explained that she called 911 because her son has been having, quote, behavior issues. And she wanted to file a report with the police to document her son's behavior and due to her daughter being exposed to pornography. And unfortunately, watching pornography does remain legal. But if you've listened to The Worldview regularly, you know that we have called for the recriminalization of pornography and the arrest and the trial of anyone who would disseminate this kind of filth. And this mom was in the right to call the police, and it's unfortunate that the police can't do anything about it. We wish, indeed, that they could. Now, we move from there on to number reason 789, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And for this, we go to Greenwich Village and NYU. NYU, a public university there in New York City. New York University plans to post flyers offering free sex therapy for freshmen. Apparently, incoming freshmen are having a lot of problems related to their addiction to pornography. Yeah, that's right. So NYU's posting flyers all over the campus telling kids to come and learn about, well, I can't really talk about what they say that they can teach the kids about. But the story does note that the NYU Hospital Sex Therapy Program started 35 years ago. It coinciding pretty close in time with the period in which youngsters started having massive problems with addiction to pornography. That's when NYU started their sex therapy program. Now, the therapy that NYU is offering to freshman students struggling with difficulties surrounding sex is given mostly by fourth-year psychiatry residents. They take the class as an elective, and they're closely supervised by a team of doctors, social workers, and professors who all specialize in sex therapy. I apologize. That's just what you want. Your kid goes off to school. He's got a problem with pornography addiction. Let's team him up with social workers and professors. That's bound to go well. Oh, they do mention some members of the clergy are even involved, and we know that could never be a problem. Certainly not. Sex therapy for freshmen. Unbelievable. If it were simply understood that people shouldn't be talking about sex or thinking about sex until they get married, then we wouldn't have all these problems. But that's just so passe. I'm such a prude. I know it. Anyway, so let's move from reason number 789. We go to reason number 788. These are not necessarily in order. We go to San Francisco. CBS Television reports that out in Fremont, California, there's a health education book in the Fremont Unified School District's ninth grade curriculum. The book is entitled Your Health Today. It's about 400 pages long. And among the subjects include information on bondage. And that's pretty much all I can say, because the other things are, well, that would qualify as pornography. And we don't want to be purveyors of that type of thing. But that's what's in this sex ed book. Actually, it's disguised as health. Health class? Yeah. Yeah, we all know what health class is. That's where the teachers who are on the make present their perverted filth to their students. That's what the health class is. Well, the district's board president, he's defending the book and the contents, things that I can't mention on the air. The district president says, our high school students today need all the tools they can have to arm themselves to make the best informed decisions. As if the kids are going to war, for crying out loud. Is that, it's bizarre to me that he wants to give the kids all the tools, they then arm themselves as they march forward into this sexual battlefield that the proctocracy and the educrats have created for the poor kids today. It's got to be very difficult. I know it was bad when I was in high school. When I was of college age, it was just awful. The pressure, the sexual tension, it was awful. And I'm sure it's even worse now with the homos. There was no homo pressure back then, you see. It was heterosexual, but it was intense. And it screwed a lot of us up really bad for a lot of years, and I'm sure it's even worse now. I have a quote here from a parent. A parent who actually sends her innocent child into the Fremont, California school system. This parent says, oh my gosh! She sees some of the pages from the textbook. She says, oh my gosh, they're very pornographic. The pictures are very explicit, this hapless mother says. Anyway, yeah, I know I should probably sympathize with this mother because she's so shocked, but I'm so shocked that she's shocked to think that she doesn't understand what's been going on in her child's education, probably since fourth grade. It's just sad, the state of parenthood in America. Let's see, I've got a quote from a sophomore. Yeah, the sophomore in the Fremont California school system says, well, knowing high schoolers, they're probably going to find out anyway. So it's better to know from a responsible adult. I'm a sophomore. Responsible. Yeah, it's a teacher's educator. Yeah, real. Anyway, that's a sophomoric comment, but that's okay. He's a sophomore. He's allowed to be sophomoric. Just sad. All right. Now, let's move quickly from the education front into the justice front, into the justice file, the smoking gun again. Smoking Gun is reporting that Google is not the only tech giant scanning your online accounts for illicit images. Did you see the story earlier in the week? Google has been turning in purveyors of child pornography by secretly scanning their email for illicit images. Well, it turns out the Smoking Gun reports that Microsoft is doing the same thing. And I'm all for it. Absolutely, I'm all for it. Tyler James Hoffman, a 20-year-old, was arrested on 5 felony charges related to his alleged possession and distribution of child pornography. Microsoft twice detected Hoffman uploading illicit images to his SkyDrive account, and then they passed on the details of the uploads to a group for the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which in turn tipped off law enforcement officials, and this pervert was arrested and at least taken off the streets temporarily. Apparently, Microsoft and others use sophisticated software to compare stored photos on their cloud services with known images that have been previously obtained by law enforcement. And I think this is a positive development. If we're not going to outright do what we should, which is to make pornography of all kinds illegal, then at least these companies are doing the responsible thing in trying to help the police track down particularly virulent perverts who deal in the trade of child pornography. And I don't do this often, but this week I've got to give kudos to two of the biggest liberal companies in the planet, Microsoft and Google, for at least making an effort against pornography. Sounds of Nuno Bettencourt, one of the few bands of the 80s that actually tried to say something meaningful, once in a while anyways. Alright, Nuno, put the guitar away, gotta get back to the show. So you people may not realize it, but we have seen it in some of the children in the neighborhood. Just letting your kids in the room while you're watching network television or cable, especially. Your kids are seeing things that they absolutely should not see until after they're married. Or maybe never. Some of the garbage on television. So if you're a parent, be careful about what you let into your child's pure and innocent mind. Because you will be held responsible in this life and the next. So just be careful for crying out loud. Don't watch network programming with your kids in the room. I mean, I would say don't watch network programming, period. But I know some of you are going to do it. And some of it's entertaining, don't get me wrong. But there's just this drenching of sexual content in all media these days. You just got to be careful and protect your children. Otherwise, they're going to see things that's going to make them do things that are just unnatural and apparent. And please, just try to protect your kids. All right, we'll leave it at that. And we'll move deeper into the justice file. This is the justice delayed file. The Washington Post is reporting that last week's death of President Ronald Reagan's press secretary, James Brady, has been ruled a homicide. Yes, they've ruled that it's a result of the gunshot wound he suffered in 1981 at the hands of would-be assassin John Hinckley Jr. This is another thing I am all for. Now, James Brady died at the age of 73, which these days is kind of young. He wasn't a lumberjack, he wasn't a coal miner. He was a bureaucrat and a press secretary. He probably would have lived until he was 90 had he not been shot in the head by John Hinckley Jr. And so he died last week, and the medical examiner ruled it a homicide. And now John Hinckley could face new criminal charges. You remember, if you were around back then and sentient, that John Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity back after he shot Reagan and James Brady and a couple of Secret Service agents. You remember that day? I remember that. March 30th, 1981. Well, the Washington Post reports that the homicide ruling raises questions about whether prosecutors can and will try to get around double jeopardy. Are you familiar with double jeopardy? That's the tradition in America that a person cannot be tried for the same crime twice. As long as the verdict is duly adjudicated, there can be no second trial on a murder charge. That's why O.J. Simpson had to be thrown in jail for kidnapping and whatever he did in that Vegas hotel room. Yeah, that's because he got away with murder, and there's double jeopardy rules. He couldn't be charged again. But for the Washington Post to even say this is laughable. I'm not even a lawyer, but I know that this would not be double jeopardy, because John Hinckley Jr. was never charged with murder. He was charged, I believe, with attempted murder and a number of charges, I'm sure. But this would be a murder charge. This would be a new charge. And I think John Hinckley Jr. should be arrested. And he's probably at his mother's house right now. And he should be arrested and he should be tried for the murder of James Brady. And don't get me wrong. I'm not a big fan of James Brady. The way he was manipulated and rolled around like a puppet in a wheelchair for the gun control lobby, that was all disgusting. I don't necessarily even blame him for that. I mean, the guy got shot in the head. I don't even know how there he was. But the fact is, there's no way James Brady would have died at 73 had he not been shot in the head by John Hinckley, and the police should be on their way to John Hinckley's mom's house. Now, why do I say that? Now, we all think that John Hinckley got life in prison. He's been in a nut house since the early 1980s, but the fact is, the Post reports that in recent years, Hinckley's been granted extended trips away from the nut house. And he spends as many as 17 days a month with his mother now in suburban Williamsburg. Yes, living the life of Ryan, just laughing it up with his mom, having tea. His attorney says, well, I'm confident there's nothing for prosecutors to consider here. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Anyway, I don't know if the legal system in the greater Washington, D.C. area has the wherewithal or the sense to go through with the arrest and prosecution of John Hinckley Jr., but we are advocating for it here on the Weekly Worldview, and if I were in Williamsburg, I would roll up to the house and offer a citizen's arrest of John Hinckley Jr. Indeed. So there we have it. Justice delayed. By the way, justice can only be delayed. It cannot be denied. God makes that promise that all justice will be made right. Yes, justice can only be delayed. It cannot be denied, because Jesus Christ eventually is going to take the seat of the judge and he's going to make all things right. So even though the lawyers and the psychobabblers and the judges have allowed people like John Hinckley Jr. and a million other violent criminals free in our midst, God will make it all right one day. So there you have that. Now, more from the Justice File. We're going to go down to Georgetown, Texas. This is from Fox, New York. A 19-year-old Texas man is accused of selling marijuana-laced brownies for $25, and he's facing felony charges that carry a penalty of possible life in prison. And he says he's very scared. In fact, I've got a quote from him. "I'm scared, very scared," unquote. Oh, no, he goes on. He said, "I'm 19 years old and still have a whole life ahead of me. Take that into account," he whines. Yeah, I know. I know. They're legal here in Colorado, and down in Texas, this 19-year-old is facing life in prison. The district attorney down there says, wait a minute, why is this kid whining? We've offered him a plea deal to a lesser felony charge that would include no jail time if he would just stay out of trouble. But he says he doesn't trust the police. Why? He's probably stoned and really paranoid. "I don't trust those guys, man. No way, dude. Don't make a deal with them, man." I think they've offered him to plead to a defective vehicle, I think. Broken turn signal, perhaps. That's always bothered me about going to court, is you go in and the district attorney says, "Look, if you'll sign this paper stating that you'll lie in open court, well, we'll just go with the lie. And instead of the speeding ticket, we'll just get, yeah, you had a bad turn signal, but malfunctioning brake light. Well, come on, let's get creative, you know. Just sign this paper, lie in court, and I'll lie with you." That always bothered me. And when I stood up and tried to fight it, I lost, and I ended up having to pay the whole fine. That was a long time ago when I was much more zealous. And so now I just go with the lie. It's like, which lie do you want me to tell? Yeah, I'll tell whatever lie. You got a one-point lie? I'd like that. You got a lie that'll take $75 off the ticket? I'll tell that lie. We can both go before the judge and we'll both lie. Let's go. I know, I do that now. It's embarrassing to be involved in the justice system. Anything else on this on this kid. Oh, I don't think that someone selling marijuana should be threatened with any time in prison, as a matter of fact. I'm against prison. I'm against life in prison. I'm against 5 years in prison. Yeah, the guy should be, if it's his first offense, he should probably be caned, you know, and somehow suffer some corporal punishment. And if he made anybody sick, he should have to, you know, reimburse, help them out. And he should be led along his way and said, you know, if you do it again, we're going to hang you. How about that? The kid would be on the straight and narrow. Yeah. The kid would go right out. No more marijuana brownies, right? All right. But instead, they threaten him with life in prison. He's already a stone paranoid freak. Life in prison, man. I don't trust these guys. What's that now? We should move? Oh, yeah, we're getting sick of the suburbs.
No, I mean the Colorado.
Oh, we should move out of Colorado because of the pot?
It's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing to live in Colorado. I thought you were just talking about the suburbs. Yeah, the suburbs getting really hard to take. The thing is, you got all these public school products. They're all, like, right there within a stone's throw of your house. And you almost feel like, okay, I just want some space. I just want a defensible perimeter, you know? A couple of acres. Just so I can beat off the hordes of heathens. I mean, some of these little boys in the neighborhood, I mean, it's just scary to see them go from 2 years old to now 6 and 7 and 10 and 15. And it's just scary to see. Anyway, so out of the suburb, out of Colorado maybe, huh? You want to go to Texas?
Whatever, it's still illegal to sell.
Yeah. Well, in Texas, it's apparently still illegal. If you sell pot, they offer you a plea down to a defective vehicle. So at least they're putting on a front down in Texas. All right. No, I don't want to go to Texas. Too hot.
San Diego,
they have pots legal in San Diego. Well, medical marijuana is legal in San Diego.
I guess it's going to be legal everywhere.
Yeah, it's going to be legal everywhere before you know it, so there's no getting away from it. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. At some point, you have to stand and fight. Yeah, I'd rather do it on 2 acres, though, than here in the suburbs. All right, now we're getting off topic here, and we need to get back to the politics file. I downloaded this story from the Wall Street Journal. Apparently in Europe, for a generation or two, there has been what's called job protection. It's basically tenure. Once you get a job and you put in a certain amount of time, you basically can't be fired unless you commit a crime. And so what's happening in Europe is that the younger people, they literally have to wait for someone to die so that they can get a decent job. And the Wall Street Journal reports that the job protections for the older generations in Europe are barriers for younger workers. Younger workers are now dependent on short-term contracts. They're not doing the long-term jobs anymore. You just get a short-term contract unless somebody dies, and then you get in. And this is causing quite a bit of tension in Europe between the young and the old, as you can well imagine, right? The young people resent the fact that they're stronger, faster, they can see more clearly, they can work harder and longer hours than this old guy who's been there for 29, 39 years, and they're offended that they can't get the job when they can do it better. And it shouldn't be that way. And well, it just doesn't bode well for the future of Europe. But then again, what does? I mean, the future of Europe doesn't look all that rosy, at least from where I sit here in the suburbs of America. I'm dying for some young kid to come and take my job. I want to retire.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I want to take it easy. I want to get one of those great big motor homes and just cruise around and squander whatever worldly possessions I have and then go on the dole. Yeah. Go from campground to campground, pick up your Social Security check at the Social Security office, go see the Grand Canyon. I don't know. I don't want to do that. No, actually, I want to change the world for the better. But I'm really busy working right now, just trying to make enough money to feed the family, keep the roof over the head. So hopefully when we're older and we don't have to work all the time, maybe if we've managed to squirrel away enough money, maybe we can go out and change the world when we're older, when we're not so busy with everything. Now, into the science, really, file. Since January, Oklahoma has had 292 earthquakes that register a magnitude 3 or larger, more than any other state in America, And that's nearly triple the number of earthquakes they had in Oklahoma last year. Oklahoma is not known as an earthquake prone state. But the earthquakes have tripled since last year. And Oklahoma, from the time records have been kept up through 2008, there were less than two a year earthquakes that you could feel in Oklahoma. Less than two a year. Now they're having almost 300 a year. So this puts Oklahoma, according to the Associated Press, this puts Oklahoma in the center of an emerging debate over whether the disposal of wastewater from oil and gas production triggers earthquakes. Yeah, scientific studies have shown wastewater activity may cause quakes when occurring near geologic faults. And this goes back to fracking and oil and gas drilling and drill, baby, drill and all that. And listen, I'm all for drill, baby, drill. I think we should absolutely go after our domestic supplies of oil as much as possible. But is it possible that sucking all this oil out of the ground and pumping all this fluid into the ground could cause earthquakes? I think it's possible. That's all. I think it's definitely possible that I mean, 300 earthquakes a year? Well, it's just that they talk about them more now. There's always been earthquakes. Well, actually, there hasn't always been earthquakes in Oklahoma. So I'm just saying it's something to consider. The Oklahoma Independent Petroleum Association and the Oklahoma Gas and Oil Association said they are committed to finding answers based on sound science. And so am I. I want to know. Because I like oil and gas, and I like what it does. And if it's causing earthquakes, well, we need to find a safer way to get it. I know we still need to go get it, but we can't dismiss the fact that we could be disrupting the I don't know, the fountains of the Great Deep or something like that. View, and I am your host, Doug McBurney, joined here in studio by my extremely attractive audio engineer. So glad to have you in as well. We move on from the possible earthquakes from oil drilling. Disturbing story. We move now to something equally as disturbing. No. Far more disturbing from the Culture File. In Britain, the National Health Service has funded a national sperm bank for women who don't want men. That's right. It's a new sperm bank that's aimed primarily at lesbians and single women. Now, they report that heterosexual couples will also be able to use the bank. But the move is largely designed to meet the increasing demand from thousands of women who want to start a family without having a relationship with a man. Well, this is just a sad commentary on the state of manhood in Britain. The fact that the women don't want a man anymore, but they still want some kind of family. And I'm not impressed with the reportage of the Daily Mail referring to women having children without fathers, referring to that as a family. That's not a family. It's something else. Yeah, it's certainly not something to be celebrated. And it's a sad state of affairs. Like I said earlier, Europe, it just doesn't look too bright. The future doesn't look too bright in Europe. All the girls, they just want to have babies like puppies or something. They don't want to have a relationship with a man. It is awfully nice of the National Health Service to condescend to the old-fashioned heterosexuals and say that heterosexuals will be allowed to use the the lesbian sperm bank. That's just great. All right. Now we move on to reason number 787 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Northwestern University will begin offering gender-open restrooms to its students this fall. The campus spokesman, whatever that is, he speaks for the campus, for the turf, the sprinkler system. The campus spokesman said, "We are trying to be responsive to the needs of all of our students and to be inclusive." Yes, unquote. Northwestern joins an estimated 150 campuses across the nation that now offer some sort of gender-open restrooms, also called gender-neutral or unisex or all-gender bathrooms. And I think all-gender is really the most politically correct. I mean, there are. How many genders are there? Well, how broad is your imagination? The sky's the limit. How far does the rainbow go? How many genders are there? There's as many as we want. Anyway, it's a homo group, by the way, that says there's 150 campuses. So my guess is there's closer to 50, but even one is too many. There's concern at Northwestern among some female students. If you can imagine that, what a bunch of bigots, these female students, to be. Well, they say they're concerned that they must now share restrooms with anatomically male students. These bigoted females. How dare they? Don't they understand that these anatomically male students identify as female or transgendered or gay, lesbian, questioning? Or, you name the gender, come on. Bigoted females. Just because someone's anatomically male, for you to insult them by insisting they shouldn't be able to use the female restroom, that's just not very progressive of these female students. Well, let me tell you what, if you're a female student and you're enrolled in Northwestern for the fall, maybe you should think about getting out, please. But Devin Moss is the director of Northwestern's LGBTQ Resource Center. He says, "We received overwhelmingly positive information, so we went with it, sweetheart." That's right, baby. Gender open bathrooms. I don't remember hearing anyone complain. Huh. That's, by the way, if you're enrolled at Northwestern for the fall, I'm letting you know right now they have a director of their LGBTQ Resource Center, which is another reason for you to get out. Please try to get your tuition back and just get out. Now, here's an interesting comment from the, what group is this, for crying out loud? Which pile? Anyway, one of these homo advocacy groups. One of their spokesmen says, quote, "Students have faced gay-baiting comments in our university's sex-segregated bathrooms. Men's bathrooms may be particular sites for this sort of harassment because of their image as queer cruising grounds." So do you notice this? Even the leader of the LGBTQ Resource Center admits that the bathrooms are known as queer cruising grounds. Everybody knows that, for crying out loud. What's the answer is to open them up to everybody? Anyway. Reason number 787 to get or keep your children out of any public education system whatsoever. Our oldest turned 13 this week. 13 years old. So strange. And we actually talked about college in the car this morning. It was bizarre. I felt like I was in an alternate universe. Anyway, our 13-year-old has no collegiate ambitions as of this moment. And nor shall they be fostered going forward. At least not here in our little social circle. All right. Now let's move into the culture file. I apologize for the pile of homos, my dear. But I got to do this. Target stores. Are you familiar, right? Yes, you are. WorldNet Daily reports that Target has joined several other national companies to sign on to a friend of the court brief. Are you familiar with these? Yes, that's when there's a lawsuit and people want to show their support for one side or the other. They sign what's called a friend of the court brief so that they can just show whose side they're on. Well, they have signed a friend of the court brief in support of marriage equality in a case pending in the Seventh Circuit Court of Schlemiels. I'm stealing that from Michael Savage. He uses that only for the Ninth Court Circuit. He calls him the Ninth Jerkit Court of Schlemiels. Is Schlemiels a dirty word? I better look that up in Yiddish before I use that. Anyway, so we'll have to please disregard that last statement. And we're not paying Michael Savage any kind of royalty on that. We're just stealing it outright. But we are giving him credit, which I think that's all he asks for. So they've signed on to this friend. Target has signed on to a friend of the court brief in support of marriage equality. By the way, marriage equality is the code word, the Orwellian newspeak. Marriage equality means publicly endorsed immorality or immorality celebrated. Or celebration of perversion. That's marriage equality. The idea that two people who are participating in grossly sinful and destructive and even criminal behavior should be able to take that behavior out into the public and have the government sanction it is now called marriage equality. And for those of you who think that I'm over the top on this issue, this is the death of a society. I was talking with a number of friends earlier in the week, and we could not think of another civilization. There are other civilizations that have succumbed to various forms of sexual immorality, and it's caused the destruction of those civilizations. But we could not think of an example in history when civilizations decided to make criminal behavior a civil right. The leaders, corrupt leaders, have always done corrupt things, but they haven't changed the law to justify their corruption. I mean, even Adolf Hitler and his administration enforced the laws against bank robbery and against murder. Even though they were robbing and looting and murdering people by the millions, they still enforced, and they never tried to change the law to justify criminal behavior on the part of everyone. They just did their crimes. But this is for the first time that I can see, and I'm only an amateur historian, I just don't recall the governing authorities changing the law to make immorality moral. And this is the death of a civilization. This is why I get so upset about it. Please forgive me if it offends you. It's meant to offend you and to scare you and to make you say, what, is this guy crazy? And then maybe think about it. Maybe you're crazy. If you think marriage equality is something that's healthy for the future of our civilization and our children, maybe you're the one who's crazy. I have a statement from Target. They say, as our leadership team discussed signing on, we took time to consider the bigger questions at hand. This brief is important, as the issue it addresses have significant impact on businesses. But it is more than that. And we agreed that now is the right time to more directly share our views on this issue. It's our belief that everyone should be treated equally under the law, and that includes rights we believe individuals should have related to marriage. Unquote. Oh, the spokesman was a female. I was lisping anyway. I'm sorry, I slip into that automatically when I'm doing quotes from these homosexualists. Other companies that have previously signed on to this same friend of the court brief include Microsoft, CBS, and Time Warner. So, yeah, if you want to boycott the homosexuals, you're pretty much going to have to move to the moon at some point. Yeah. You can't have cable. You can't have a computer. You can't watch TV. You can't go to the clothing store. You can't buy coffee. You're going to have to move to Togo, Tierra del Fuego. Try to get away from it. All right, one more from the pile, and then I'll be done. I promise. One more from the pile. The mayor of West Hollywood is objecting to new plans to renovate the park, the main park there in West Hollywood. He says he's upset that the new renovation design pays too much attention to children and not enough attention to dogs. Yeah, that's Mayor John D'Amico. He says that the park will have three play areas for children, but no area for the dogs to run free. And the mayor says that's sort of an institutionalized fetishization of kids, says the mayor of West Hollywood. Now, keep in mind, West Hollywood, more than a third of its population identifies as some kind of sexual pervert, a lesbian, a homosexual, bisexual, transgendered. If there are any other genders, you can find them in West Hollywood. But you can't hardly find just a normal heterosexual guy. You can't hardly find a straight couple in West Hollywood. And West Hollywood, according to this report from Breitbart, the city of West Hollywood has 1,100 children under the age of 14 out of a population of 34,000 children. 1,100 children under the age of 14, and they have over 1,000 licensed dogs, leading the Breitbart reporter to extrapolate that the overall amount of dogs in West Hollywood likely exceeds the population of children. Therefore, the mayor wants to have a place in the park for dogs that's very prominent, and please stop with what he calls the institutionalized fetishization of kids. That's Mayor John D'Amico of West Hollywood, California, who, by the way, he has two dogs. You're the one that sets the bar, the hairdo king, the fashions are. You're fabulous.
I'm fabulous.
You're fabulous.
Oh, I'm fabulous.
You're the one we all can see. It's all about you.
It's all about me.
You're fabulous.
I'm fabulous.
You're fabulous.
I'm fabulous.
Now, there's no report on whether or not Mayor D'Amico has any children. But Breitbart does report that he has two dogs, and we feel that there's no need to even investigate it. No. The mayor of West Hollywood doesn't have any children. He does have two. We're going to assume he has no kids, at least none who will speak to him. All right. Now, let's move on quickly because we're running out of time, as often happens toward the end of the hour, oddly enough. From the politics file over in France, The Telegraph in London reports that many supermarket chains in France donate unsold produce to charity. That's nice, isn't it? That's great. I think that's wonderful. Well, now 63 ministers of parliament would like to see that practice enshrined in law. They want to pass a law making it compulsory for larger supermarkets to give their unsold but still consumable food products to at least one food charity. Charity starts at home. It does not start in the parliament. When you pass a law making the stores give their food to the homeless, that's no longer charity. It's no longer even nice or good. It's coercion. All of these ministers of parliament should be flogged. They should be lined up, and they should all, the bottoms of their feet should be beaten with pool cues, he said rhetorically, figuratively. Now, Belgium already has a law. They introduced a similar law back in May, and the European Union wants to scrap the whole idea of putting a best before stamp, you know, that stamp that says best if you eat this before August 31st. They want to just get rid of all of that because they say that we're throwing away way too much food. They estimate 100 million tons of food is wasted across Europe each year. Well, is that the amount of food consumed by the EU bureaucracy and the ministers of parliament? I would consider that wasted food. It'd be better to throw it away than to feed these parasites. In the United Kingdom, the government has estimated that unnecessarily discarded food costs the average British household nearly £500 a year, rising to almost £700 for a family with children. Now, do you notice that the story is reported by a newspaper in Britain? They make a distinction between the average British household and a family with children. Because the average British household, I don't think it has any children anymore. They're two separate categories. With the childless family mentioned first as the average. And then they mention the ones with kids as an aside. Okay, well, maybe I'm splitting hairs there, but I did notice. Now, onto the war file. This is serious stuff, and we're almost out of time. Major General Harold Green was shot and killed. He was shot once in the leg and four times in the back The gunman opened fire from a bathroom window in a nearby building. This is in Afghanistan. The killer was identified as 27-year-old Mohammed Rafiqullah. What? His name was Mohammed? You've got to be kidding me. The friendly fire, the green on blue? No way. Mohammed? What a shock. Mohammed had been in the Afghan army for 2 years and had never shown any suspicious intentions before shooting the general and 20 other officers, including American, British, German, and Afghan officers, were injured in the attack before someone finally shot this guy. Green's assassination, by the way, listen to this. This barely made the news this week. It was a big splash on Drudge at the beginning of the week or maybe at the end of last week. And it barely cracked into the top tier of stories. But this assassination of an American general is the first targeted killing of an American general since U.S. General Edward Canby was assassinated in 1873. 1873, I said. Yeah, like 140 years ago. It's been 140 years since an American general was targeted and killed, and it barely makes the news. By the way, General Canby was assassinated by Modoc Indians in Northern California during peace talks that apparently did not go very well. And now we go on to, deeper into the war file. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that targeted airstrikes and emergency assistance in northern Iraq has begun by Americans in order to, allegedly, to protect American personnel. And obviously to prevent a humanitarian catastrophe. You know, on this program, when these Islamists took, not Mosul, what was it they took back in March? They took Fallujah. When they raised the flag of the Islamists above Fallujah, we gave a warning on this program. We said this is embarrassing. There's no way this should be allowed to happen. But unfortunately, the West has squandered any moral or military capital that we have in that part of the area, and this is going to be a disaster. And indeed, now it is a disaster, so much of a disaster that Barry Ho and the Pagan Girls Club that runs the White House have finally become offended enough to start at least, I think they dropped 4 bombs so far on ISIS. So they went in to aid these Yazidis. The Yazidis, which I'm sure are a fine bunch of people, it's a pre-Islamic religion up there in northern Iraq. The Yazidis are all trapped on the side of a mountain. Now, the Christians have been murdered, butchered, burned, chased from their homes, beheaded all day long for months. But now, when the ISIS chases these Yazidis up a hillside and threatens to kill them, now the Pagan Girls Club running the White House gets offended. And now it's time to act. It's almost as if they allowed for the ethnic cleansing and the murder of enough Christians to somehow satiate the hatred that the Pagan Girls Club, who runs the White House, their bloodlust against Christian has been satiated somewhat. There's been enough Christian blood spilled that now they're willing to finally act to go save the Yazidis. And by the way, I support the saving of the Yazidis and the killing of ISIS. I support all that. I'm extremely offended at the timing that we've allowed so many people to be brutalized and murdered for so long. It's just disturbing. Now, the Islamists have also seized control of large areas, including the Mosul Dam, which is Iraq's largest dam. I read a report on this. It was terrifying. If these Islamists blow up this dam, they could kill tens of thousands of people. And what, do you think they might do it? I think they might do it. They probably want to do it. They probably just don't have the wherewithal. Barry Ho said confidently, American combat troops will not be returning to fight in Iraq because there is no American military solution to the crisis in Iraq, says Barry. He says, quote, the only lasting solution is reconciliation among Iraqi communities and stronger Iraqi security forces. Reconciliation, you say, Barry? Okay, what does that look like? How? What's going to reconcile the Kurds and the Yazidis and the Christians and the Muslims and the Islamists and the fanatics and the murderers and the rapists and the kidnappers? What's going to reconcile all those people, Barry? Is it going to be democracy, Barry? Is it going to be freedom? What's going to do it, Barry? Is it going to be humanism? Barry doesn't have a solution. Barry doesn't have a solution. I have a solution. Yeah. Now, there are some things you have to do yourself, Barry. I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. Should I mention this other story? Before I give Barry his advice for the week, let's see. I had another story from Breitbart. ISIS is a direct threat to the United States. Abu Musa, a spokesman for the Islamic State, says, quote, "We will humiliate them everywhere, God willing, and we will raise the flag of Allah in the White House." Unquote. That's Abu Musa. An Erbil resident spoke to an interviewer from Breitbart. That's the city that it's either threatened or it has been taken now, Erbil. I haven't checked the news in the last 45 minutes. Erbil may have already fallen to the Islamists. But one of the civilians there spoke to a Breitbart reporter, and he said the minorities joined the fight with the Peshmerga in Karakash. And Karakash was previously the largest Christian town in Iraq. And this civilian reported that it is now under ISIS control. The Peshmerga, you may wonder who they are. The Peshmerga military is a strong fighting force, according to the Breitbart reporter. But they have limited weapons and equipment. Breitbart reporter says that the United States can support the Peshmerga with military equipment and weapons without putting boots on the ground. And Barry already said, we're not going to put any boots on the ground. No boots on the ground. No. Gentlemen, Barry, turn up the radio here, buddy. There are some things you cannot hire out. You have to do them yourself. I talked to a very wise man about this a long time ago. And he said, in certain interpersonal relationships, there are some things you just can't hire them out. You got to do them yourself. And Barry, one of those things is conquering a country, defeating an army. These things you don't hire out to the Peshmerga or the Kurds. I'm sure the Peshmerga and the Kurds are just wonderful people, probably on par with the Mujahideen that we armed in the 80s and 90s. The wonderful people that helped us defeat the Soviets. That worked out well. So what do you want to arm the Kurds and the Peshmerga now so that they can cut our throats 20 years from now? I'm sorry. You don't hire that stuff out. You got to do it yourself. And it's brutal, ugly. People die. It's awful. What we need is, unfortunately, America's got to do it. Why? Because we're America. We're not the world's policemen. We're America. We need boots on the ground. Unfortunately, it's going to come to that. We might as well do it sooner rather than later. And we need missionaries on the ground. Yeah, every city we take, every Islamist headquarters that we bomb into the Stone Age, upon it, we should start building and fortifying missions, Christian missions. And we should start raising up the Christian minority to rule that place. That will bring reconciliation. When God's law is respected and the Christian religion flourishes in Nineveh, and the Fertile Crescent, and all of that whole Middle East, that's where we'll get reconciliation, Barry. That's where we'll get it. But Barry, he really has no clue. I mean, that guy is... Obama's bad. Have you noticed that? I was listening to Sean Hannity the other day, and like, shazam! Barack Obama's bad. He's not good for us. All right, now, we're almost out of time. From the Strange Religion file... An operator of Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system says he personally witnessed the hand of God diverting an incoming rocket out of harm's way. Yes, this is one of the Jewish military fellows over there. He says that he was a commander in the Iron Dome missile defense system. He says a missile was fired from Gaza. Iron Dome precisely calculated its trajectory. We fired the first interceptor missile and we missed. Then we fired a second missile, and we missed again. And this is very rare. By the way, have you seen these missiles? It's like they stop in midair, turn around, and can go hit the incoming missile. Very impressive. It's a tragedy that we have to waste so much money and effort on such a system, but it's very impressive to watch, I've got to say. Anyway, he says the second interceptor missed, and he says this is very rare. At this point, there were just 4 seconds until the missile lands, and they know it's going to hit in Tel Aviv. It's going to hit the equivalent of the Pentagon, possibly, or a large apartment building. There's only 4 seconds left. Suddenly, Iron Dome shows a major wind coming from the east, a strong wind. See, Iron Dome can even sense the wind. Very impressive. He says, Iron Dome shows a major wind coming out of the east, a strong wind that sends the missile into the sea off the shore of Tel Aviv. He says, we were all stunned. I stood up and I shouted, there is a God. He says, I witnessed a miracle with my own eyes. It was not told to me. It was not reported to me. I saw the hand of God send that missile into the sea. Well, I'm not going to question the guy's story. I'm absolutely sure it happened exactly as he said it. It's just very strange. Very strange. A strong wind from the east. Hey, that wouldn't be the first time God has used a strong wind from the east, right? He's been known to do that before. Do I think this was the hand of God? I'll leave that to you to decide. I'm just here to report what this fella said, okay? Got a headline here from the Telegraph in London, from the politics file. The headline screams, could Mitt Romney ride to the rescue of the Republican Party? Well, if those of you in the media have made the decision that you're going to put him on the horse, then I suppose he's going to try to do it. My prediction is Mitt Romney will be the Republican nominee in 2016. That I can see it happening. It's the groundwork's being laid. It's happening. That's all. All right. Yes, the Republican Party is that pathetic. They are that spineless. They are that hapless, hopeless, helpless, and stupid that they will field Mitt Romney in the 2016 election. And, well, we'll just have to just see where the cookie crumbles or let the cards fall as they may. I need some other colloquialisms. I'm running out here. Help me out. All right, it's almost the end of the show. Finally, let's move on for the final story of the day. From the Science, really? File. This is reported on CBS in Charlotte, which is either North Carolina or South Carolina. It's Charlotte in the Carolina. I believe that there needs to be a reconciliation among the Carolinas. I don't know whatever happened there. I just always get confused. Charlotte, North Carolina. CBS reports that an international team of scientists is warning that the Earth may be entering the early stages of another mass extinction event. Yes, they're scared. More than 320 animals have gone extinct. These are land vertebrates. Have gone extinct since the year 1500. That's terrifying. 320. And many of the world's plants and animal species are endangered. According to this new study that's published somewhere, I'm not going to mention. Alive Science, anyway. If you buy into any of that. Okay, so maybe that's all true. Scientists say we may be entering another mass extinction event. Up to 1/3 of all vertebrates are threatened, they say. That's scary stuff. Up to 1/3 of vertebrates. So that means there's no doubt the Republican Party will survive this extinction event because it is made up primarily of invertebrates. In fact, I think it's 100% invertebrate. No, there's 1% or 2%. So most of the Republican Party survives, and you and I will have to see if we come out on the other side. Meanwhile, that's the worldview for this week. Should the Lord tarry, I'll return next week. And until then, I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, at TheologyOnline.com, and AmericanRightToLife.com. And as I said, should the Lord tarry, I shall return. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.